I wanted to read to you this morning from the mouths of second graders why God made moms and some other questions related to that. Here you go. Out of the mouth of babes. Why did God make mothers? She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Mostly to clean the house. To help us out of there when we were getting born. Okay. How did God make mothers? He used dirt just like for the rest of us. Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. God made my mom just the same like He made me. He just used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. They had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly used string, I think. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? We're related. God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. What kind of a little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. They say she used to be nice. Okay. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? His last name. These are second graders. She had to know his background, like, is he a crook? Did he get drunk on beer? Chris, some wisdom here. Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Okay. Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mom eats a lot. She got too old to do anything else with him. My grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Who's the boss at your house? Mom doesn't want to be boss, but she has to because dad's such a goofball. Mom, you can tell by room inspections. She sees the stuff under the bed. I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad. What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. Ooh. Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you got to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's. Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. Yeah. What does your mom do in her spare time? Mothers don't do spare time. To hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. Two more. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. Oh, dear. Diet. You know, her hair. I dye it, maybe blue. See, you thought we were going the other way with this, didn't you? If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it to me. And last but not least, I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. Oh, boy. Anyway, Why God made moms. That's what I wanted to talk about this morning. You see, if you look at the Word of God way back in Genesis, there is a prerequisite to motherhood. Go back to Genesis, the prerequisite to motherhood is wifehood. So why did He make wives? Literally, if you look at the text, He couldn't make it without her. I want to read it for you. You guys probably are going to, your ego is going to be burst a little bit here this morning. But read it in Genesis 2:18. Now this is before the fall. This is before Adam and Eve messed up. Okay? And here's what it says. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." I wonder if God was sitting there looking and saying, "Oh, Adam, you're already messing up." I wonder what He was doing when He was watching Adam and He was doing some of these things and he wasn't getting anything right. And God was saying, "Oh boy, you need someone to help you out. So I'm going to give you a woman." So here it is, Genesis 2, verse 18, right at the very beginning. Literally, God gave Adam Eve. Because He said, "It is not good for you to be alone." They were designed for each other. Man and woman were designed for each other. The one completed the other. The two became one. Right there in Genesis, we read it. God even chose elsewhere in Scripture the language of husband and wife to indicate His relationship between Christ and the church. Christ being the groom and the church being the bride. Why did God make moms? To the marriage was given this command, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth." And so wives became mothers. I'm not going to tell you how they became mothers. Most of you know that. That was a joke. Okay, yeah. Why didn't God make men the mothers? The bearers of children. You know the answer to that. We're wimps. I'm not answering that question with a biblical statement. I'm just saying God made mothers and gave them whatever it is they needed to do what they need to do. And mothers were equipped to be the bearers of children. Why did God make moms? I want to share with you an illustration here before I go on with the message this morning and see what you think about this. One afternoon, a man came home from work to find total mayhem in his house. His three children were outside, still in their pajamas, laying in the mud with empty food boxes and wrappers strewn all over the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the front door to the house. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, and the throw rug was wadded up against the wall. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring a cartoon channel, probably Paw Patrol. And the family room was strewn with toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. Dog food was spilled all over the floor. A broken glass lay under the table, and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried that she may be ill or that something serious had happened. He found her lounging in the bedroom, still curled in the bed in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him, smiled, and asked how his day went. He looked at her, bewildered, and asked, "What happened here today?" She again smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and ask me what in the world I did today..." "Yes," was his incredulous reply. She answered, "Well, today I didn't do it." Lesson learned, maybe? Maybe lesson learned. Mothers do so much that goes unnoticed. And so perhaps it's not done anymore. And so I ask ourselves again, why did God make moms? And I look at this mother in the Old Testament, this mother of Moses, in the text that was read this morning. What faith when I look at a woman like that? She knew that the little babies were in trouble. They were going to kill them. And here she was, a mother of a little baby boy, knowing his life was threatened. She knew she couldn't hide him forever. She wondered what to do. So what did she do? She trusted God. She trusted God with her little baby, putting that little baby in a basket in the weeds along the Nile River, and trusted that God would take care of this little one. And ultimately what happened was, in her trusting God to do what she couldn't do herself and trusting God with that, God gave her back her child. As the story goes, God gave her back her child. Oh, she may not have been the legal mother because it was Pharaoh's daughter that was. It wasn't her, but she was the mother, and she nursed the baby and she took care of that baby as it grew up in that palace, that palatial residence. But there's something about this mother that teaches us something, and it's this: for mothers and fathers alike, are you and I able to let go and let God? Are we able to say to God, with those He's entrusted us with, can we let go and let God? Whether it's our children, our spouses, our jobs, our situation, our health, whatever it is, can we, like this mother of Moses, let go and let God? You see, by letting go, what happens to us? We don't like this. By letting go, we lose control. If you're like me, I like to have some sense of control of the situation, right? Aren't we wired that way? We kind of want to have at least some control over something. But when the mother of Moses had to let go, literally, she lost all control over what was going on there. But it wasn't just that she let go. You see, that the half of that. She let go and let God. She let go and trusted God with whatever it is that was going to be the future of that little baby that God had given her. By letting go, you and I lose control. Moses' mother lost control. But again, as we said earlier, he was given back. You know, there were human actors in this scenario, and there are some people who would look at this and say, well, you know, was this really God, or was this just coincidence? Was this just, you know, the human actors that go on in life around us and do the things that they do and influence perhaps the kinds of decisions that we make or the outcomes of things that go on in our life. And we look at all these other actors in the scenario and sometimes give them more due than we should. Because I think what we need to do is what we see in this story is we need to see the director behind all of this. It isn't those others around us. The director is God Himself. And God uses people around us sometimes to have an influence on us. He uses things around us to bring about what His ultimate purpose is for us. And sometimes we don't see that ultimate purpose for quite a while. Can you imagine the heartache, the agony of letting go of Moses and really not knowing what was going to happen? You know, you and I see the other side of the story, don't we? And the other side of the story turned out pretty darn well, right? But when we're in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through, we don't see the other side of the story. And sometimes this side of the story looks ugly. It's agonizing. It's painful. It brings tears. It brings heartache. It brings difficulty. It brings a whole lot of stuff. Because we can't see the other side. And that's when we need to do what God showed this mother to do. We just need to let go and trust God. Yeah, there are things we can do along the way. But all the way, we continue to trust God. I can just imagine perhaps when this baby was picked up. I wonder if Mom was nearby looking to see what was going on. Was observing Moses floating down that river. I don't know. And saw that Moses was picked up by this young lady. And maybe she was kind of in that general vicinity of the palace of where they were residing, and she heard some stirrings over there about this little baby that was found, and Pharaoh's daughter wanted this baby to be hers, and heard maybe that they need a nurse mom for this baby. I wonder. But in all of that that was going on, do not discredit the fact that the director, God, was behind all of this. God's directing you and me whether we realize it or not. And we need to do a better job of letting go and letting Him take control. Because oftentimes we want to pull right back and not let Him have it. Because you see, letting go is not giving up. It's the opposite. Letting go is trusting that what you desire for your child is going to happen and God will provide the way. Maybe not in the way you want it to. Or maybe not just say child here, but whatever the situation is, but we've got to trust that God will provide the way. This is one story of Mary, of many. We could talk about Ruth and Naomi, and we could talk about a bunch of mothers, and in this case, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, and how they trusted God through all of what was going on there. But I just want to remind us this morning of the special nature of moms and how oftentimes moms have to do this in ways that maybe we as dads don't do it as often. Why did God make moms? I think God made moms in part so that the child can hear God's voice. So children can be nudged in that direction of where God wants them to go. That process of letting go and letting God. God made moms because children need advocates. Even this one who wasn't a mom, who saw the baby, was an advocate for that baby. Someone needs to interpret what's going on with our children, and I think mothers have that instinct so many times. Thank you, God, for mothers. Thank you for what they do for us as children. A mother so many times will do anything to deliver the best interests of the child at their own sacrifice. Godly moms, I believe, are a reflection of God. Why did God make moms? I'll go back to the beginning again. Because guys, we couldn't make it without them. Without a wife. Guys, we couldn't make it without them. And raising children. And I know we live in a broken world. There is no ideal perfect family. There's brokenness. But God can be the director in all the brokenness too. He fills in the gap. He does things and takes care of things that we can't take care of ourselves. So, I just want to say this morning, first and foremost, God made moms because we needed them bad. The man needed the wife before even mom came into being. As we were in trouble. Guys, I hope your ego isn't too broken this morning. We needed them bad. Thank you, God, for wives and for moms. We're grateful. We're thankful.
Let's pray.
God, thank you for life itself. Thank you for how you created us as human beings. Thank you for moms on this day. Thank you for the sacrifices they make even at the beginning of life and the pain, it even says in Genesis, the pain in childbearing. Thank you for the pain they went through to deliver the package they love. God, we're grateful for moms. We're even more grateful for godly moms. Thank you for those moms that help us to see the need for someone beyond them, one who cares even more than them and dad. It's Jesus, who died our death and rose for our sake. We are grateful. We are thankful. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn and close in the hymn number 504.